First, I want to start in Judges chapter 21. You know, this morning we talked about the Word of God and how precious the Word of God is and valuable it is. And really, without God's Word, we have no basis for our lives. We have no foundation, no standard. That's sort of what the situation was here in Judges chapter 21. We're going to read verse 25. It says, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes." I think that statement is true today for many people in the world today. They do what is right in their own eyes. They do what they think is good or what they think is right. And everybody's opinion they believe is the right thing. You know, you can ask anyone what they think on a subject and then ask them if they think they're wrong. And the truth is they'll never say that they think they're wrong. What we believe or what we think is always held in high regard. And so they lived their lives based on what they thought or what they thought was good and right. And so let's look in Genesis chapter 6. And we're going to read verse 5. "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." So you think about living your life based upon your own thoughts and your own ideas, your own sense of good or morality. And the Word of God says that our thoughts, apart from God, are evil continually. They're corrupted. Because they don't recognize God. When you're basing your life on your own thoughts and your own ideas, your own imaginations, God isn't part of that equation. And so that makes everything that you're thinking in opposition to Him. He says that His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and His ways are higher than our ways. And so, like we were saying, the Scripture, we need to be able to live our lives according to God's Word, or according to what He says, and not according to our own imaginations or thoughts. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 23. And we're going to read verses 16 and 17. It says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you." You know, when I read this scriptures or these scriptures, I think about today, the religious systems of the day. They really have this idea or this thought process that, you know, you can do whatever you imagine to do. You can do whatever you think is right and good, and the Lord is just going to close His eyes to you. You know, as long as you believe in Him or believe in the idea of God, you're going to be okay. And you can do whatever you want to do. And that's what He's saying that these people did. But He said that the prophets that spoke those things were prophets that were speaking falsely. They were giving them vain hope they were making them confident in a false premise. And that's really what happens today, is people are living their lives based on a false premise and think they're safe and think they're okay. And they're really not. In Jeremiah 7, verses 4 to 11, it says, "Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations? Is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord." I think about these scriptures, and when I read these scriptures, it's prophesying of today. People are in churches all across this nation who steal, commit adultery, possibly murder, swear falsely. They do all these things and yet proclaim salvation. Proclaim a relationship with God. And that's what he's saying. Is my house become a den of robbers? You know, my thought tonight isn't so much about how we perceive sin or how we consider our standing with the Lord with regards to these things, but it's more about our imaginations, our thoughts. And the question is what kind of God do you serve? What God do you serve? What is he like? Who is he? Because do you know that our impressions of God affect our relationship with God? Those people who believe that they can do whatever they want to do and it's all fine and dandy have a perception of God. And the God that they believe in says that that's all right. The God that they believe in, maybe he loves enough or so much that he won't hold them responsible for their deeds or for their lifestyle or whatever. But it's a perception of God. And I think that a lot of times our perceptions of God or who we think him to be or how we think he is affects our relationship with him. You know, we had a message this morning about Gideon, and he says, "Thou mighty man of valor." And Gideon's thinking, well, why would you say that? You know, or what was it? Blessed of the Lord or something. He's like, how are we blessed of the Lord? Look at, we're being oppressed. You know, we're being persecuted. How are we blessed of the Lord? And then he says, he talks about the God that delivered him out of Egypt. And he's basically proclaiming his faith, that he believes in that God still. And he's asking, where are the miracles that we've heard about? Because he's still believing in those miracles that God had done and that his fathers had passed down to him and told him about these things. His faith was in that God. Who's our faith in? Who is the God that we serve? Look in Acts chapter 17. Paul came to Athens, and as he was walking around waiting for, I believe it was Timothy and Stephen or Silas, Timothy and Silas, He's waiting for them. He's walking around Athens and he starts seeing their devotions. Right? Acts 17, verses 18. It says, "Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, 'What will this babbler say?' Others, some, 'He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection.' And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, 'May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean.' For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For I, as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, "To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you."'" Paul is going to explain to them who God really is. You know, they had numerous devotions or altars that worshiped many different types of gods. There had people that were worshiping fertility gods or, gods of war. What was that? The sun god. Gods of lust. You know, gods of prosperity. They served these gods. Is that the kind of God that we serve? Is our God that we serve only concerned about us being happy? And just wanting to please us all the time? Just wanting to give us everything that we want and cry for and appeal for? Is that the God that we serve? Do we serve a God that loves so much, like we said before, that he'll overlook every wrong that we commit? Is that the kind of God we serve? Do we serve a God that has an iron fist and is just waiting for us to make a mistake so that he can crush us? Is that the kind of God that we serve? You know, sometimes people have perceptions of God that are like that. And they allow those perceptions to affect their relationship with the Lord. You know, I've heard of some people, they talk about the love of God and him being a father. And they say that sometimes people are hindered by that concept of father because maybe their father wasn't so good, right? Or maybe their father, his idea of love was to smack you across the room, you know? And that was what a father was like. And so I think sometimes people put that on God. Oh, father. Okay, God is a father. All right, and he's just waiting to slap me when I do something wrong. Right? I really do believe that our perceptions of God hinder our faith. We talked about faith this morning and adding to our faith. And I think to do that, we really have to know who God really is. You know, we sing a song of "He has been so good to me." That's a perception of God. And being able to see that the things that have happened in your life, albeit that not everything in your life has been great and perfect and just the way you would want it, but you still know that God is good. You still know that God loves you and cares for you. And it's important that you have that. We have to continue to know these things about the Lord if we want to have our relationship with him grow and mature. Our view of God hinders our relationship with him. Is God for us or against us? What was that? It does. Sometimes we think God is for us when he's really against us because of our lifestyle and the way that we live. That's right. And like Sister Rosie said, he died for us. So certainly he's for us in the respect that he wants to deliver us from that condition that we spoke about with regards to him being our enemy. He doesn't want us to remain enemies. He's looking to redeem us and deliver us. But the thought of it is God for me or against me? You know, you think that that's an obvious answer to that question. But the reality is our response to God doesn't make that all that obvious. You know, I heard a prayer in the prayer this evening about God being so faithful that we can trust Him. You know, that we can put our lives into His hands and know that we're in a safe place. He's faithful in that regard. Is God for us or against us? What kind of God do we serve? You know, I've heard of people that were going through things, and I really feel like they believed that God was punishing them. They took it as a punishment instead of it as maybe a correction or a strengthening or something else, you know? It was a punishment. God is punishing me. He's slapping me. Right? And that was their perception of God. I've heard of others that I've talked to that you talk about trusting in the Lord with your body, and immediately they feel like you're going to die. I've had people that, you know, you want to trust the Lord for your body, and right away they figure, oh, well, you're going to die then. And why is that? Why do we feel that way? Why isn't trusting in God like the best thing? Right? He created these bodies. He built these bodies. You don't think He can fix them? Sure He can. And I'm going to raise my hand and say, I'm not perfect in this. But that's a problem. If you can't trust the Lord, then what is that? What is your perception of Him? Obviously, He's not hindered in these things. Obviously, He can do whatever He wants to do. And obviously, I know that His way is best, always. So why can't I trust Him? Why can't I have faith in Him? Why can't I believe that He's faithful and good and just and He's going to do right by me? Why can't I believe that He's on my side and that He wants only good for me and not evil? He doesn't want to reject me. He doesn't want to kick me out of heaven. He doesn't want to separate me from His company. The God that we serve wants to draw us in. He wants to get closer to us. He wants to eliminate all those barriers that keep us from having that closeness. He wants to help us in our relationship with Him. But I really think that sometimes our perceptions of Him hinder that. The Lord really is faithful. And He is good. You know, I was thinking about somebody that spoke recently about being afraid to walk in sanctification as if it was a situation that was going to be harmful, or they were afraid to consecrate unto the Lord. Why is that? Why is it a fearful thing to consecrate unto God? Is it because we're not trusting Him? Is it because we don't feel like He's faithful to be able to take care of our lives? Or that He's incapable of giving us a good life, a wonderful life? You know, I was in that position where I thought that serving God wholeheartedly, committed, completely, was going to hinder me in some way. That it was going to take away pleasures from me. That it was going to take away enjoyments of life. But that's all a lie. It's all a lie of the enemy wanting to steal. Because the reality is those things that I wanted to hold on to didn't really give pleasure at all. They gave a simulation of enjoyment or simulation of good and pleasurable things, but there was no lasting effects in it. It brought what you would call a hangover afterwards of guilt and shame and remorse and whatever else you want to tag on to that. Emptiness. You know, you think you're filling your life up with good things, but really it's just empty. They just come up empty and you need more to try to fill those voids. But with the Lord, He fills us to overflowing. He says that we won't want to drink anymore. We won't need a drink anymore if we drink the water that He gives. If we take on the Spirit that He offers. You know, I was thinking about King David. And there was a situation where he had done wrong. I think it was when he numbered the people. And there was a punishment to be had. And the Lord gave him a choice of how to be punished. And he says, "Let me fall into the hands of the Lord, because I know He's merciful. More merciful than man." He didn't want to fall into the hands of man. He'd rather be in the hands of God. And I think of the other scripture that says, what a fearful thing I think it is to fall into the hands of the Lord, right? And two different ideas, two different thoughts there. But the thing is that David understood who God is. And no doubt it is a fearful thing to be in the hand of the Lord with respects to judgment, because He can cast our souls into hell. But I love the fact that David knew the Lord and knew that he can put his heart and his life and his whole being into His hands and know that it was a safe place. I don't feel like we need to be afraid to commit to the Lord, to consecrate unto God, to allow Him to have our lives, to do with what He seems fit. You know, I heard another person, I was having a conversation with him, and he was like, "Well, you know, I really don't want to serve the Lord because I'm afraid He's going to make me preach." And he was serious. He was afraid of what God was going to use him in and how the Lord was going to use him in his life. You know, I was thinking about Israel in the wilderness. The Lord had just done many miracles, delivered him out of Egypt, took him across the Red Sea on dry land, and I mean, did all kinds of things to show his care for them and his willingness to be their God and to protect them. And as soon as they ran into trouble, what did they do? They accused the Lord of taking them into this wilderness to slay him. "Oh, He just brought us out of Egypt to kill us all." You know, it sounds comical, but sometimes that's how people think. I've seen people who are trusting the Lord for their body, but you can tell in their words and in their actions that they were waiting to die. And I think, what is that? Yeah, you may die. That may be the choice that the Lord chooses for you. But why would you just assume that? Why wouldn't you rather assume that God's going to heal you? Because He loves you and cares for you. Maybe that's the best thing. My dad, I believe, died that way. I asked him, "Do you really want to get healed, Dad?" Because the way he prayed was almost like he was just waiting for his time. And I know that he was desirous for eternity, desirous for heaven and all those things. But I also wonder if he really believed that God would heal him. Or maybe could. And I have a concern about that. I have a concern about thinking of God in that way. You know, to think that to trust in the Lord is that He's just going to leave you hanging. You know, He's just going to let you hang out there to dry. That's not the God I serve. He said He would not leave us nor forsake us. You know, I think of I guess it was a parable of the talents. And he had the one guy that had one talent, right? And he went and buried it. And he had a reason for that. He said, because I know that king, he's an austere man, and he takes where he does not reap, and basically was saying, boy, he's a rough one, and I don't want to make him angry or whatever it was. But his perception of that king affected his relationship with him, because when he came back, he's asking him, why didn't you do anything with that talent? Why did you bury it? It was because of his perception of him that kept him from doing what he would have him do. And I really do think that that's what happens with us, is that our perception of God and what he's going to do with our life affects our committing to him and trusting him and giving him all. And like I said, this is for me too. I have a hard time in some areas of my life right now, and just letting go and saying, Lord, you know, whatever you're going to do, and know that I'm in good hands. You know, trusting in God and knowing that it's going to be all right. You know, that's the best thing that you could ever do. But somehow it's the hardest thing to do. Because we grow up to be independent. We grow up to take care of things ourselves, you know. And really, he just wants us to rest in him and follow him and do what he's asking us to do, leading our lives by his hand, and he's going to bless us. But really, I just want us to be able to have confidence that when we trust God, we're doing the best thing that we could possibly do. It's not a bad thing to trust the Lord. He is faithful, like it was prayed. He is just, He is faithful, He is good. He wants only good things for us, and He's going to bring us to a good end if we just trust Him and give Him our lives. Yeah, everything may not go the way we want them to. Like I said, we don't have a God that spoils us by any means. He doesn't spoil us. He does allow us to go through some difficulties to strengthen us, to build us up, to make us strong spiritually so that we can endure that next thing that's coming along. But I'm glad that I serve a God that I can believe and trust in. And I pray that the Lord will help me to trust Him more, to believe more, to get a better insight, a better idea, a better perspective of who He really is. It says the love of God, the depth and the height and the width, you know, to really understand that. And that's my desire, to really get to know the God that I serve. Not a God of my own imaginations, not a God that I think up, but who He is in truth, and to live according to that. So I just ask that you all would pray for me, that we would be all that the Lord would have us to be, and to be able to trust Him and know that we're in good hands.